everyone. Welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a wee little bit of fun in Toyotas, and of course, hearing about all the overlanding you can do in Toyotas, then this is the podcast for you. That's right, ladies and germs. My name is 4x4 Overland Tyler, or is it off-roading Tyler? I'm not sure.
Ford Yoda Tyler.
Ford Yoda Tyler? Maybe. We'll see. And joining me in the studio is Mr. I don't know what your nickname is today.
Ford Toad Toyota Jimmy Jet.
Sure. Man. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. It's nice sitting here in Moab, having a good time looking out these windows. We've got a great view in this house.
It is. It's a great view of a Bronco. right out that window.
I was talking about past the Bronco and the mountains.
Okay.
And the hills. You might be able to even see lions back from here.
Really?
Maybe. I'll take a peek at it later.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I haven't looked I haven't been on this side of the house really that much.
Yeah.
So I've been over on the other side of the house mainly, and I haven't really taken time to look out these windows over on this side. So, yeah. Which is really where the view is. Yeah.
The kitchen has some good views of the, what are those called? The Adirondacks or something like that?
Yeah, something like that out there.
The mountain
big
range.
Big snow right capped. There, so. There's a lot of snow up there right now. Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's nice. Mm-hmm. Things are going well. Mm-hmm. How are you doing? How was your trip?
Trip was amazing. It was really cool to kind of play around with everything that I did with the trailer.
Nice.
So we'll talk about that on a future episode here. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited for that.
Yeah. Trip out here was great. No issues whatsoever. It was fantastic. I heard your trip was a little chattery.
Chattery is a good way to put it. Yeah. Long story short, I had a tire that was delaminating and I had a few people go, check your tires. And I said, I don't see anything.
Yeah. The tires look fine.
Tires look good. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I took it into the tire shop and the guy's like, yeah, you're delaminating. I'm like, can you show me? I can't. Like,
it wasn't,
I don't know what to look at.
It wasn't just that though. Like we pulled in to the a parking lot.
Yeah.
And the dude immediately comes walking over and you go, hey, yeah, how's it going? I think I have an issue with my trailer. He goes, yeah, I heard you coming down the road.
Right.
And then immediately without any pause, without saying anything else, he goes, well, you got at least one tire delaminating.
Right.
And we're like,
and we were standing
10 feet away
at least.
Yeah. He didn't even, and we're just like, what? And he kind of walks around the trailer really quick. He goes, yep, you got a delaminated tire. He goes, that one right there is your culprit. And we're like, how can you tell? Like, could show us real quick. Like,
yeah,
we're not questioning you. We're just curious. How do you figure that out from 15 feet away?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And for the most part, the easiest way that I can explain it is that the tread section of your tire from the outside of your tire to the inside of your tire is more or less flat.
Should right? be.
Where the contact patch is sort of hitting the ground. That area is more or less flat.
Mm-hmm.
This was not flat. It was bowed.
Yeah.
Bowed up and
rounded.
Around. Yeah. Rounded up. And so, and then when you rotated the tire, it flattened out.
Mm-hmm.
And so the tire was oblong.
Yeah.
And I had a pretty much from Nevada, from the California, Nevada border. I was like, something's not really going well with the trailer.
And that's like 12 to 13 hours of your drive. Chattering. Well,
yeah.
On the
chattering.
Trailer.
I was 2 hours in of a 14 to 16 hour trip. and a lot of people have said it, and I thought to myself, I'm shocked the tires made it.
Yeah.
I'm shocked I didn't have a blowout.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Which I've never had.
Yeah.
So anyways, that long road trips are an adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know what's going to happen. Mm-mm. You know, 2 years ago, I had a hell of a time getting home.
Yeah.
Hopefully now that I've put trailer tires on and Clifford has had some fixes, I'll get home safely.
Yeah.
This time. But, you know, you never know. These overland long haul trips are always an adventure, and it's the journey that is part of the fun.
Yeah, I agree. Is it really the journey that's part of the fun part, or is it the destination? Or
I don't know. I think that's something we're going to have to discuss in today's episode.
Yeah. Yeah. We got a fun episode for you guys today. This is one we've been wanting to do for a while. Before we get over to that, though, we do have the giveaway for this month going on. Gift boxes are all out. We've talked a little bit about them already.
The gift box tier is open if you are looking to get in after you're hearing last Thursday's episode and you liked everything that was in the gift boxes. You can imagine or have a vague idea of what might be in the next one. Or no idea at all, because I think it's going to be completely different, something different than we've ever done before.
I think you're going to want to be in the next one. Well, I don't know. I would imagine a majority of our listeners would want to be in the next one.
Every listener that I know that is in the gift box tier will enjoy this upcoming gift
October,
box.
If we can pull this off. Yeah,
yes.
I agree. Yeah, you guys have a few more days. Well, about a week, I think, from when this episode is airing to get in on that gift box tier for October, Jim's month. November is Jim's month, but the pre-Jim's month.
Yeah, I'm claiming both of them.
Yes, he is. So yeah, you guys got all that. All your options for signing up for stuff and supporting the channel is over at irate4x4.com. So go over, check that out. Go down to the Snail Trail 4x4 forum, and then all your signup options are right there. So you don't have to support the channel. We're going to keep putting out free content for everybody. And if you do so feel inclined to, you know, throw a little money our way to help us stay interested in doing this and not just get together and talk about it without hitting the record button and doing all the editing and everything. You guys, we absolutely appreciate when people do that. And to show our appreciation, we've set up some fun ways to give back to you guys for that. So
absolutely. And I'll be honest, I probably would sit down and hit the record button anyway, but getting a little bit of cash so I can buy new stuff.
Yeah.
Buy more parts is always a bonus. And then we can talk about it.
Yeah, there we go.
So that's the fun part.
Yep.
Yeah.
So cool, man. Any other highlights, pieces of information that we wanted to hit real quick before getting into this fun conversation we had?
No, I think we're ready to go. Had a good time over at the Wild West Motorsports for NorCal Rock Racing. Saw a lot of fun faces out there. Got to see a good buddy of mine, Joey, who I haven't seen in many years, an old friend from high school that contacted me asking if I was going to be out there. So it was good to see Joey.
Nice.
And yeah, I think we've been having Benji on the mute button for too long.
Yep.
I think we should let him off mute and we can jump into a fun discussion. I'm excited to have this discussion today.
Yeah, this is going to be a really fun one. Jimmy and I have talked about this multiple times. We've talked a little bit about it on the podcast a couple times too. And really it comes down to, you know, how do you define overlanding? Is overlanding really a definable term? How is it different from other off-road terms out there?
Yeah. And so what is the difference between overlanding and off-roading?
Yeah. So it's always kind of been something that Jimmy and I have joked around about. I think a lot of, especially rock crawlers and off-roaders, joke around about overlanders. And it's like, well, what does it really mean? What are we really joking around about here? And so we thought, who better to have a really fun discussion with about the two differences than Benji from Budget Overland.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Probably the highest ranked overland podcast out there. And we got the professional on the horn to talk to us about overlanding and what is overlanding and how do you define overlanding and what is it if you're towing a trailer? Is it still overlanding?
Yeah.
Where did, you know, how are all these things kind of fall in line? And we get into a fun discussion. I caught him in a pickle.
Yeah, you did.
Which was kind of funny. So I think he's going to be ready to fire back on in one of his next episodes about this. So yeah, it was a fun discussion. Big thanks to Benji for joining us. Shall we let him out of the shoebox now?
Yeah. Just, you know, anybody, if you like listening to Benji, go check out his podcast over there, Budget Overland as well. They also have a Facebook page that's extremely active and some really fun topics come up and some really interesting ways to do things on a budget. Creative, interesting ways to do things on a budget shows up there too. So check that out. Say hi to them. And yeah, I think it'll be a fun talk. So grab your favorite drinks, grab your favorite Cheez-Its, and we'll be right on back with today's campfire discussion.
I like the toasted ones.
You're gross.
Are you tired of landing in potholes and bouncing off obstacles? To play at your full potential, correctly tuned coilovers allow you to float over the rocks and gain more traction. At 4Wheel Underground, our full suspension systems include custom tuned coilovers for your specific application. To learn more, visit fourwheelunderground.com.
Oh, welcome back, ladies, gentle ladies, boys, girls, kiddos, dogs, cats, all the trail animals out there. We are back here today with a fun episode. This is an episode that we've been trying to get on the books for a while, and we finally got to make it all happen. All the schedules and the stars aligned here to get everyone in. We have a special guest here, a veteran podcaster, Mr. Benji from Budget Overland. Benji, how are you doing today, buddy?
Man, I'm fantastic. I appreciate you guys, you know, having me on. We actually aligned the stars, and here I am. So it's great.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to have you on. You've been doing podcasting for a little bit, though, but you've been off-roading for quite a bit longer. And I think you're going to give a really cool perspective to today's topic as what we'll be getting into here. So Jimmy and I really like to go off-roading, right? We like to go out in our rigs and enjoy outdoors, but we love to do really technical stuff. You know, we like to have big tires, lockers front and rear, full armor, so that when we, you know, we can use our vehicle and our armor to get ourselves over the rocks and right. if we dragged if we need to. And you've kind of taken I don't want to say a different perspective, a different turn on that, but you started out in this off-roading world in a slightly different way, right?
Yeah, so it's kind of odd. My first intro to off-roading was, you know, growing up going to my grandpa's farm. You know, you got to drive trucks and tractors and all that fun stuff, getting muddy. Mm-hmm. And then once you turn 16, you know, I had an El Camino, and you know, that's kind of a truck. And all my other friends, the title says it was a truck, so it was a truck.
Yeah.
But all my friends had trucks. I was like, so I you know, I'll go hang out with those guys. Well, they're going, you know, getting muddy and doing some fun stuff. So that was kind of my intro to where I eventually, I did get a Jeep one time, but my first love was was a 1990 4Runner. And my friends, you know, they had their side-by-sides and they had their chop, you know, bobbed Toyotas and all that stuff. And mm-hmm. I'd go hang with those guys. I was open, you know, diffs, centers, everything. I was just open on 31s, going out, learning the hard way. And then boys, you know, I'd take almost every bypass I could. Uh-huh. And, you know, those guys were like, man, you were hanging with us, you know, all day. I was like, yeah, man, it's fun. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of got me hooked on that. And then that was kind of around the time overlanding was popping up like wildfire, just everywhere. And I was like, you know what? I don't like breaking stuff every weekend, and this might be a milder option for me.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of how I did that. I don't know. It's kind of backwards. I don't know into overlanding. If we can get into that stuff later on the definition and all that stuff. But
yeah. So you had a 90 4Runner. Did you move to something else then for your overlanding setup?
Yeah. So I'm more of a not an eccentric person, but I don't want to have what everybody else has. Okay. So I had a 90. And I was like, you know, what's cooler than a 90 is the first gen 4Runners, because mm-hmm. you can take the top off and all that stuff. So I've had a couple first gens. They weren't nothing, you know, anything fancy. I'd take them out wheeling just, you know, 22 REs and, you know, the five bangers and, you know, it'd have a good time. And then I slowly got into the third gen platform, which that's where I've been for the last 3 or 4 years now. And I just absolutely love that platform.
Dang. So you're a 4Runner fan, huh?
I am.
Attaboy.
I am.
We did an episode a long, long time ago. During COVID, when we were all in lockdown, mm-hmm. we did, what did we call them? Tyler's Terrible
Topic Talks.
Topic Talks.
I think I listened to that one. And the only takeaway I got from that, the only one.
Yeah.
Is, I think, Jimmy, you said, well, a 4Runner is essentially a truck with a topper on the back. Yeah. So it's like, you know, it's like he's got a point there. But, mm-hmm. you know, like you could put the rack system on the back with the soft topper and all that stuff. Yeah. I mean, there's so many cool platforms available, or, you know, options for both platforms. I'm a 6'6" guy. So a third gen 4Runner, me squeezing in there, that's a magic trick in and of itself. Yeah. So having all my camping gear in there, and then you add the family, you know, I've got a 5-year-old son and my wife, they'll go camping with me, and, you know, it's a squeeze.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah.
Yeah. I've had to do quite a few modifications. I'm 6'4". modifications to the seats of the 4Runner and the steering wheel and everything so that I can fit in there comfortably and drive it for, you know, long hours throughout a day. So
I'm 5'8", so I had to figure out a way to move the seat even farther forward than it's allowed. But yeah, no, just kidding. Yeah.
That's funny. So third gen 4Runner is where it's at, huh? Third gen crowd.
It is. And I'm not knocking the fourth gens. To me, they're kind of ugly. That's the only reason. But if you had the sport hood and the V8, I mean, that's a give and take. So, you know, it is what it is. So fifth gens, I think for me, are probably too big for our trails in our area that I do. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of carnage. You know, even just the fenders are pretty, they're just a wider vehicle. Mm-hmm. But the third gens, man, I'm going down, you know, I could go down side by side trails. I don't, because that's illegal. I can go down side by side trails effortlessly.
Yeah.
And, you know, my friends are doing 3-point turns back there trying to get, I'm just weaving through trees and stuff. It's, I love it. Yeah. So
did you get the rear E-locker axle?
Or I did what have you done with a it? Rear axle housing swap about 2 years ago. I bought another third gen primarily for the rear axle housing with the locker. I gave like $1,000 for it. It had a good motor. The transmission was bad in it. It was an automatic. So, I mean, for $1,000, that's what the going rate is for an axle housing complete.
Yeah.
You know, with axles and everything is going for around here. So, yeah, me and my buddy did that, and we did a gear swap on it. I think they're not 529s. It's smaller than a 529.
Okay, like a 488 maybe?
Yeah.
488s. Yep. Man, a total brain fart. But I'm running 285 7017s. So, you know, to go on highway speeds and everything, you know, I'm still trekking with that little V6, and it's like the perfect combo for me. I'm not locked in the front or center or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Just rear locker, and the gear change for me was just a game changer.
Yeah, that'll go a really long way with that platform. Those 3.4 engines are awesome, man. They're the V6 of the 22 REs nowadays. So it's they're awesome. They're great to work on. They last forever if you do minor maintenance on them. So yeah, that's what I ended up putting in my 4Runner, and I never wanted to look back. So
yeah.
Well, cool, man. So you've got your rig set up for pretty good stuff. Do you have a long travel in the front? What have you done with the front suspension?
I don't. Everything up front, just old man Emu. And I'm actually trying to reconfigure that. Because that lift was on it. The front was on it whenever I bought it.
Okay.
So it's got an old man Emu. I don't know what springs. And it's got like a 1-inch spacer or level on it.
Okay.
So it's, I think all in all, it's like a 4-inch lift in the front, which I absolutely hate. So I'm right now, I've been messing with the vibration, you know, at certain speeds. The CVs are just in a bind. Mm-hmm. You know, I took that spacer out. This is where all the, you know, investigation part went, you know. So right now I already know what I need to do, but now I just need to get that fire lit again to do it. So it's like, because it's such a pain in the butt when you're pulling stuff off. And I did the diff drop, and everyone's like, oh, you don't need a diff drop. Well, it helped a little bit, but mm-hmm. it's not a savior, you know. It's just, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. It gives you a peace of mind, maybe, but we can get into diff drops. I don't think we should, but to me, it's a waste of money and time. So after pulling that off and putting it on and doing this and that, it's like, I'm exhausted. Yeah. So I just need to find that 3-inch lift. That's the sweet spot. And that's it.
Nice. What have you done for the rig in order to make it more overlanding? Is there a definition of trying to do something to a vehicle to make it more overlanding versus more of a trail rig kind of thing? Or
so the sarcastic side of me wants to say a rooftop tent and a scottle.
Winning.
So now you're overlanding.
Yeah.
No, I had to say that. So I started out ground tent camping. You know, $30 Coleman tent, whatever. And then I always call it like everyone's on a different journey. It could be, you know, crawling, wheeling, whatever, overlanding. You're on a different journey. So if you enter overlanding, you're looking at somebody else that's been doing it for a while. Mm-hmm. And you're like, that guy's got $50,000 in mods and everything. That guy's an idiot. You know, he's wasted his whatever. He's off his rocker. Mm-hmm. You do it for a year or two. Boom, you're probably going to redo your gears, do something to make it more enjoyable, more practical, and less, you know, I don't know. So we're all on these different journeys to where, you're poking fun at people. And that's just right off the bat on Facebook or anything. When you see people poking fun, you can tell they're a noob. They've not done this for a while. Mm-hmm. Or else they're just an old person that's just stuck in their ways and likes the ride of a, you know, FJ40 and bouncing all over the place.
Yeah.
So for me, the first mods I did to make it more quote unquote overlandish was sleeping, your food organization, you know, the I have a drawer system now. I did not have a drawer system before, but organizing your crap and putting it in there, your recovery gear, because you're carrying not only your glamping stuff, which is fine. We're not like, you know, people out in the bush doing stupid stuff. We want to be comfortable, but you're also going into remote places to where, you know, you're relying on your vehicle. So you have to have that plug kit. You have to have your compressor. You have to have all this extra bull crap that a normal camper wouldn't have. And that's the difference between like camping and overlanding and to get away from people. You know, you're not going to go to a KOA and escape it. You're not going to go 5 minutes down a county road or a forest service road. And you know, you got to go out there. You got to go places a minivan can't go.
There you go. Some of those Toyota high aces, the four wheel drive minivans, those things can go a lot of cool spots.
Yeah,
dude, we were camping in Southwest Missouri last year. It's called Glade Top. And we went down some trails and we're like, no one is ever going to be out here. We roll up on a minivan and we're like, how in the heck did this guy get out here? We were looking around for like parts and stuff. You know, if he ripped something off, we're like, this is insane.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's funny. So have you ever converted your 4Runner to sleep on the inside? I would assume that's one of the main benefits of having a 4Runner versus a truck is you can outfit the interior to have it more sleepable. Where a truck, I mean, a lot of us get the shorter truck beds and they're not long enough for us to even sleep in the bed. So did you ever go that route?
I'm just too long. And I don't know. Ideally, it would be cool, but even like the third gens are so small on the interior as well. I mean, there's just no room. And a lot of people, you know, more of the hardcore overlanders, they're more into a stacking system as far as like taking gear, so it's in totes. So once they go somewhere, they take their totes, they stack it outside the vehicle, they can cover it with the tarp or whatever, and they sleep inside the rig. That's more like the hardcore guys that, you know, that's their lifestyle. They don't need the glamping part of it. They want to go and camp out of their rig. But I've always had the idea of building a truck one day. I don't know what truck that would be, but it would be cool to turn the back kind of into a sleeper and have a shell on the back, like one of the raised ones. But man, the weight and all that stuff factored into it. And I don't know.
Yeah. You'd need like an F-250 long bed.
Yeah. I've got a friend of mine. His name's Kelly and he drives a Ram 2500. He's got a skinny guy camper in the back, weighted down, like just his dry weight loaded up. Everything is 10,000 pounds.
Holy crap.
And I've got video of him. We did a trip a couple months ago in Arkansas. And he's just going up and over everything. And I'm like, you could not, by looking at this truck doing this right now, cannot imagine that it weighs 10,000.
Wow.
And he just slayed it. But yeah, the skinny guy camper's just open backwards. And he's got like a shower in there, toilets.
I've never heard of a skinny guy camper.
Yeah.
I'll send you a link. They're kind of a startup. I'd say they're relatively new, maybe a year or two old, but they've got them for Gladiators, Rams. I don't know about Tacomas. I don't know. I think they're expanding. Mm. So very, very cool.
Yeah.
Well, if they want to test fit one on a Tacoma, yeah. I'd be all ears.
No doubt.
Nice. Well, cool. So yeah, you're kind of outfitting the vehicle for more overlandish stuff, which I think is an interesting topic. It was kind of a loaded question, right?
Yeah.
I kind of alluded to at the beginning of the episode or the beginning of the interview here where, you know, Jimmy and I come from more of the rock crawling side where we're loading up our vehicle with as much recovery gear, as many tools, onboard welders, you know, we're expecting to break stuff. So that's our big top priority. And in the past couple of years, few years, we've been really enjoying the more of the overlanding style where, But everybody struggles to define what that means. Like, and I think one of the things that I love about your podcast and what you just said a little bit ago is that it's a different journey for everybody. It kind of means something different to everybody. So I was just kind of curious, you know, what is the difference between like off-roading or overlanding or rock crawling or rock landing? Like there's all these different terms out there. How do you know which ones to use? Is there even a right answer for that? Is there like an identity if you're choosing one of those versus another one? Like, what are your thoughts on all that?
So this is like where it goes down this ginormous rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And there's, I mean, there's no right way to overland. There's a right way to off-road and to rock climb because you're not going to make it very far if you've got, you know, a Mini Cooper. It's just not going to go there.
That's a good point.
Now, you can overland in a Mini Cooper. You could overland on a motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
It's vehicle-dependent travel. If you can make it there, that's the primary goal of an overlander is the destination. And, well, maybe it's not. It's probably how to get there. I mean, it's like the journey is the destination. That's what I should say.
Yeah.
Okay. So it doesn't matter if you're on a gravel road, you know, you see a waterfall. Cool. Let's go look at it. We're lazy backpackers. That's what I always tell people. Is overlanders are lazy. We love nature. We love nature, but we're not going to hike 15 miles out to see it. No. I mean, we might get out and walk a mile or two, but you know, I'm all about nature. I love beauty, especially with today's world. I hate plastics. Plastics everywhere. It's going to leave our future generation. And I sound like a hippie, but like all this stuff that we consumers, it's all this mass produced crap that they know, well, these guys are just going to throw this away. You know, there's so much of it, so mm-hmm. much waste.
Mm-hmm.
So even 50, maybe 100 years, are we going to have these beautiful parks? I mean, are we going to have sunsets anymore? I mean, we're going to be able to see it because of smog and whatnot. I mean, I don't want to get all radical, but like, I think for the most part, overlanders are also very, I don't know what to say, mindful of, you know, campsites. They clean them up. I mean, mm-hmm. we're outdoorsy people. We like to clean up, leave, you know, tread lightly, you know, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if any of this is resonating to anybody because I could talk about this stuff for hours. I get off track. But like, as far as overlanding, like there's no right way to do it.
Interesting. I like that. It's a very fluid thing to do, I guess. Yeah, I was, we actually just interviewed Ben from Blue Ribbon Coalition, and he was talking about how there's a bunch of dispersed camping areas out in Moab that are, you know, looking at getting shut down. And he goes, the really just messed up part about all this is that, you know, he goes, I've gone out and looked at those campsites. I've gone out and looked at the dispersed camping areas. And a lot of them, most of them are kept very nice. Everybody picks up their trash. They remove the rock ring from their fire pit and put the rocks back dispersed out rather than leaving a fire pit ring after them. They try and do as much as possible to leave no trace, right?
Yeah.
And he goes, the really messed up part is that those are the spots that are getting taken away because the land managers are claiming that nobody's using it because they're not seeing the evidence of people using it. And he goes, and to make it even worse, the places that they're looking at keeping open are the places that are getting destroyed, that the land managers are seeing evidence of people leaving trash around, leaving human feces around, not picking up after themselves, leaving big old burn fire pits everywhere. He goes, it's just a really super ironic situation.
Yeah.
And like 90% of overlanders, people that like to go vehicle dependent camping, are doing an awesome job, but we're almost doing too good of a job because the land managers aren't seeing what's going on.
They need to start having like a check-in or like a book to say, right? I was here, you know, so-and-so is here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. I don't know. I've noticed a lot within our, the overlanding, the vehicular recreation community. I would argue that a lot of us care more about the beauty of the environment that we're in, the just getting out into the wilderness, getting up into the Sierras, getting out into the plains, whatever it is. I would argue that a lot of our community enjoys it more than your average hiker out of hiking communities. And it seems like the hikers are the ones that are always complaining about, oh, vehicles are destroying everything and we need to preserve the beauty. And I'm like, I would argue that vehicular recreationalists appreciate the beauty more on average than your other average foot recreational person.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's another thing is because we always make fun of side-by-side guys.
Yeah.
I don't know if you like side. I don't care. But it's like anytime we see a beer can on the trail or something, those dang side by side guys, he's got to pull it together. Yeah. But like you said, it's
always got to clean up after the side by sides.
Yeah. I know, man. Yeah. I need to make a decal or something.
So I Googled overland a definition, and it says a self-reliant adventure travel to a remote destination where the journey is the primary goal.
Oh, there we go.
Dang.
Look at you, Benji.
That was spot on. It's like once you do it long enough, you just gain this knowledge.
Absorb it with osmosis.
It's the journey, man. It's the journey.
Yeah. No, that's really cool. I think, Jimmy and I talk about this a lot, and we're like, why do we like going off-roading? Like, why do we like to go up to the Rubicon? Why do we like to go up to Fordyce? Why do we like to go do these kind of like more extreme rock crawling trails, but we love taking multiple days to do it. And, Jimmy likes the technical side of it a little bit more than I do. And then I absolutely love getting out to just these super remote destinations that are absolutely gorgeous. I just want to have a little bit of fun getting there too. And fun for me is different than fun for everybody else. So, I mean, does that make us overlanders too now? Because
you are, but you don't want to sound too corporate when you say it, like we're overlanders, you know, because that word just goes, you're just wanting to brand yourself now as an overlander. Right. No, I get you. That's the fun part for me and my buddies. You know, you could go 5 miles down a trail, it's going to take you all day. Mm-hmm. And you know, once you get to camp, you know, you set up your camp and sit around a fire, and you know, you just talk about that obstacle or that, you know, if you have carnage or something, you know, talk about what you did that day. Mm-hmm. You know, the next morning go do it again. And, you know, same, it's like repeat, but it's all different trails. I love it.
Yeah.
So because I have a rooftop tent and a fridge, but no scuttle, I'm actually defined as an overlander.
So listen, just hear me out. Listen. All right. Okay. So I was a ground dweller for a long time, and my son just turned 5, you know, last summer. So he's always crawling up my buddy's rooftop tents and all that stuff. And I was like, let's just get one. You know, it's going to be a nostalgia piece. You know, he can look back one day, man, we had a fun time camping with mom and dad, whatever. So we bought that. And then I've always been kind of anti-scottle. I don't want to come on here and bash it. I don't see the point. Mm-hmm. I've got a little Blackstone, 17-inch Blackstone I cook with. So I'm eliminating my pans. I'm eliminating, certain trays and utensils I've got to take. You know, I got a couple little, you know, utensils. That's it.
What is a Blackstone? Cook almost,
you don't have a Blackstone?
I don't
is
know.
Is it like a griddle kind of thing?
Yeah. Well, it's a flat top oven, or not a flat top oven. It's a flat top grill.
Okay.
Yep. The hibachi style, where they go ting tong ting when they're cooking.
Yeah. Like I know what you're talking about, but
that's funny. That's great.
Besides anybody that has those like 3-burner Camp Chefs.
Man, yeah.
I don't see people pull those out.
Yeah.
So that's not a big deal like in your area for people camping and stuff. No, wow. Mm-mm.
That's new news to us.
Yeah.
Sweet. I guess we need to join this Facebook group and keep up with the times.
Golly. I thought you guys were overlanders.
I have an old school Coleman 2-burner.
That's all you need, man. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've had forever. The only thing I've seen with people is elevation problems, you know, with the propane, which not unless you're going to get a Genesis or something, you know, jet bull and whatever.
So we're in the Midwest. What is the Blackstone runoff of then? Is it propane?
It's propane. Okay. Yep. So another thing, overlanders, you know, you could spot them in the malls, whatever. It's a little 5-pound, you know, propane tanks they mount on the exterior. Yeah. You got to have the 5-pounder. You can't bring a 20. Yeah. You can't bring the ones anymore. You know, but anyway, I still got the ones. It is, man. It's like next level. It's next level. You're like, do you see my new propane tank? Yeah, I saw it.
Oh man, that's funny. Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. I love the thought that, you know, off-road. So you said that you can't you can't do different things to off-road. There, you have to have certain things in order to be successful off-roading, but you can do a lot of different things for overlanding. You can go in a Mini Cooper, you said, motorcycles, blah, blah, blah. Is there a big crossover there? I mean, I would imagine there is, but is there ever like trips where you're setting up and getting ready for a trip and you're like, hey, this trip is going to be and strictly an off-roading trip versus this trip is definitely going to be more of like an overlanding trip? And how do you prepare differently?
Yeah, decide for those two the things? Two. Yeah. So personally, I've never done just an off-road trip because around here they're pretty much off. You know, you're doing difficult trails, and it's funny. I had a group go down with me a couple weeks ago. And I was like, these are all going to be very moderate trails. You know, you guys will be all right. You know, we had like six river crossings and a bunch of stuff. And some of those guys were on 30, 31 inch tires and no snorkels and stuff. And they're like, dude, these were difficult trails. And I'm like, I mean, I'm sorry. You know, you made it. You didn't die. We had a good time. But now you know. Yeah, but did you die? But now you know what mods, or I hate the word mods too, but what upgrades and stuff to throw at your rig now. If you want to continue to have fun with me, this is what you need to do. If you want to go back to the gravel roads, that's fine. But I think everybody, we all had a good time because there's not a lot of traffic out there.
Yeah. So it sounds like you went from your 1990 4Runner to a first gen to your third gen now, and you started out kind of with a third gen more glamping overland style. It sounds like you're starting to get more into the off-roading side of it, more technical stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a, again, you don't want to off, you know, you don't want to, I don't know. I say that.
Yeah.
I don't like tearing stuff up, but a couple weeks ago, you know, I blew a bead off my tire. I, you know, threw off my alignment and ate up two tires on the way home. It was just, that was too much carnage for that one trip. It was just like, take it easy, man. And, you know, because a CV axle, that's what happened. A CV axle went out. So I was in two-wheel drive. I was aired down to 15. And I hit this. I knew I had to hit this mud hole pretty hard to make it through. Well, that mud pit was like a 90-degree berm. And my tire went in there and just popped, came off. And then, yeah, it threw my whole alignment out. You know, I'm IFS in the front. And it just, we had a good time. I always tell my friends, we had a good time. So it's like, if my wife was with me, she would be stressed. Mm-hmm. But when you're with your buds and everything, there's a few mechanically minded people that always go with me. And, you know, if somebody can't problem solve there, you know, somebody else will. We all put our brains together. We got the bead set in another 15 minutes and we were on our merry way. I've had a buddy one time, his upper spindle cracked at the ball joint.
Oh, geez.
It's happened twice. And he wheels in a two-wheel drive first gen Tundra.
Oh, wow.
And he's super cool. And we were literally a mile or not even a mile down this trail, and it broke. So we had baling wire and a cheap ratchet strap, and that's how we got him out of there. Had a snatch, not a snatch block, a rope or something, and pulled him out backwards to get him up. And then anyway, we made a repair on gravel road instead of on a trail, but some sketchy stuff that we see some hardcore stuff, you know, whenever we're out. So I don't know what people are painting pictures of this overland stuff, but I think like I said earlier, it's for everybody and there's no right way to do it. And I think a lot of people try to bottle up overlanding as one thing, and that has to be it. You have to have lights, whatever, amber lights galore. You got to have the rooftop tent. You got to have all this stuff, and you don't. And that's where like kind of the budget aspect comes into it. Budget doesn't necessarily mean cheap to us. I don't know about you guys, but I budget my monthly money and how I'm going to spend it. And you got your toy money over here. All right. That's going to go towards this. Hey, I'm really looking at upgrading my suspension. That's going to go over here. But then you could buy cheap crap too. Knock off stuff. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got some Always Save food in my cupboard. So it's like there's different brands that are quality that you need, mm-hmm. that you will want. And then there's some cheap stuff that if you throw it away in 6 months, who cares?
Yeah.
You know, not unless you're going to all these overland shows and showing them all this stuff that look at this bottom shelf stuff. You know, who cares? Nobody, if you're that, you know, brand loyal or whatever, you're just in the wrong club, man. And maybe that's what overlanding is. I don't know. I don't know. Is it look at me, look at all my stuff? It's become that.
I was going to say, it kind of has become that with all the accessory options and especially the prevalence of social media and showing off, hey, I just got this new whatever it is,
right?
High priced something or other. Do you think that there's, loaded question. Do you think that there's definitely those people in the community, overlanding community, that's what they want out of overlanding is just to show off their high priced equipment? Or
if you could afford it and do it, I'm not shaming you. I'm not shaming you one bit. Mm-hmm. I know that there's guys out there who, you know, they've got the money and they don't spend it on this stuff. It's like, they're very, I don't know. They're
budget friendly.
They're budget. I hate that term. Dang it. They're budget minded and all that stuff. But it's like we said earlier, you're on a journey. Mm-hmm. So he's on his introduction to overlanding. He's been with me on multiple trips as a passenger, and now he's a driver. Was he want out of it? I don't know. And if he wants to go full blown, he can. If not, but he's reserved on how he's spending it and wise to do so. And, you know, I've got people out there that have money and they just go full bore, glory on everything, bolt on this, but they won't go camping. They won't go wheeling. They just want to look cool.
Mall,
I don't know.
Mall overlanding. Mall is there overlanding. A new, can we make a new term there? Mall landing?
Yeah. We'll have to trademark it for legal issues.
Hashtag mall landing.
Oh, man.
So I don't know. I get all riled up talking about this stuff. Should have done like a three-parter, really dissected.
It'd be fun.
It's all good.
Yeah.
That's why we asked you to join us for sure. So I going back to the journey, I think that if it does involve the journey of just getting out and going and doing the trip and the journey of traveling, then almost any form of off-roading could be considered overlanding.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, like, if you guys are, like you said earlier, you're all about, you know, going to those remote places, having fun along the way. And then, oh, it's dinner time, you know, Coleman stove. I got to set up my tent or hammock or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, you made it in on a vehicle and you made it out. Now, do you trailer your vehicles to those destinations like the trailheads or anything like that? Do you trail your rigs there?
That's a good, well,
because now you're just an off-roader that's camping. You know what I'm saying? Well, you didn't drive from your house to wherever in your off-road buggy.
Okay. Okay. So, all right. So if you trailer to the trailhead, that is a definition that removes you from overlanding?
Correct.
Because if you're,
100%.
What if the journey, that's when the journey begins. Is once you unload your truck from the trailer and you go out.
But whenever you're pissed off because your slide, your weld or something broke, you got to weld it out on the trailer. You're like, I can't wait to get this on the trailer. I'll fix this when I get home. No. Overlanders have to fix it when you're out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Okay.
That's why I have all this crap in my rig. It might be used once a year on certain things. I don't overload because sometimes... Some people make a mental list. Some people make a physical list. You know, I've got my snatch blocks. I got my rope. I've got, my winch all ready to go, tested everything. You know, they've got a checklist, and there's some people that don't. But anyway, after a while, like you can go back through your list and like, I've got two different loadout trips for me, and I've got them for my wife and my kid when they go.
Okay.
90% of the stuff with my wife and kid, it's coming out. I don't need some of their stuff. I don't need it. Like, and that's not necessarily targeted towards one person. I mean, it could be extra utensils and stuff I don't need. That's coming out. So I'm already lighter, and then I'm already less, upset when I'm looking for something because I got to sift through a bunch of crap. Yeah. I already know where it's all at. So you've got those different preload checklists. And sometimes as your journey continues, those will change. So you might either, and I'm on the journey now of, I want to be more minimalist on my journey. Like, I don't need all this crap. Now I am bougie and I've got a diesel heater. And I love winter camping because not a lot of people are out there when it's 17 degrees or whatever, or snowing or raining, sleeting, whatever. That's my favorite season right now. In Missouri, in Arkansas, in the Midwest in general, it's very humid. So summer time for us camping, no. I'll see you in the fall. Like, I might do a couple trips. I think this year me and my wife and son are going to try to go. We're still up in the air. We might go to the Upper Peninsula, or we might even go up into Canada. I don't know. I mean, just somewhere.
That'd be cool.
Go up north somewhere, and then that's going to be our hoorah for the summer as far as overlanding goes. And then we'll see you in the fall, you know, and do winter again and all that stuff.
I like
everyone calls it. Sometimes it pisses me off because people's like, oh, it's overland season. It's camping season. And you're like, why are you limiting it to a season? I mean, have you heard of snowbirds? They go south. Mm-hmm. I mean, all these excuses, man. I don't know. Just get out and camp.
We've joked about that numerous times because it's wheeling season. And Tyler goes, I wheel all year round. There's snow wheeling and rock crawling and overlanding. It's like, it doesn't matter. There's no season. We just go out.
Yep.
I think it's funny. Yep. And you know, some people just come out and say, I don't care. I mean, it's like, that's my season. So get off my back.
Yeah. It's their journey, right?
Well, and for the longest time, I said this on the Wheeling Wine and Whiskey podcast the other day. I would wheel during the summer and I would use the winter as a tear down and rebuild and upgrade session. So I would have a, like, this is my wheeling season and this is my maintenance season.
Cool.
So I would have seasons at that point. And then I met this guy and now he drags me out into the snow and now I never rebuild or upgrade myself.
Now we don't get maintenance done. Yeah.
So that's when we break and need to bust out the welders is because you never have time to look over your rig and find cracks.
Yep.
Yep. Dadgummit.
Yep. Oh man, that's funny. Yeah. Dude, I don't know how I feel about the trailering to and from trailheads. I've never been a fan of trailering just because I hate trailer logistics. But you know, that also then means, like you said, if anything goes wrong on the trail, we have to fix it to get home, right? We have to get it there. Whereas somebody who does take a trailer, they're like, part of the journey for me is just being like, I broke something, destroyed an axle housing or something. I just need to get it back to the trailer. And that's part of the journey for me. It's an interesting, different way to look at it, I guess. I don't know.
I've got a reverse right back on to you, Benji.
Here we go.
He's going to try to stump me on something.
What about the people that tow trailers overlanding that leave their trailer at a base location and drive out to like go get food?
All right. So base camping.
Yeah.
And so I'm not there. My little V6 can't handle it with how heavy I am and everything. Like, we've got these steep hills. It would be a nightmare. Now friends of, and there's different scenarios, so hear me out. So the beneficial part of base is being able to leave and claim your territory. Mm-hmm. And go wheel, have fun, whatever. Come back with the hopes that your trailer's still there and your stuff is still there.
Yeah.
And today's world, and expensive as everything is, that sounds terrifying to me. I mean, most of these entry level trailers, and you could build your own, all that stuff, but I mean, you're looking at 20 to 40,000 just up front. Now you got to add all the cool stuff too. I mean, some of these off-road trailers are like 60 grand, 70 grand.
Mm-hmm.
So to leave that behind is insane. The other thing is lugging it up trails, you know, trying to do a 6-point turn so you don't jackknife it or anything. Yeah. And I don't care if you've got the whatever kind of hitch that is. The pintle hitch. And I don't know. It's not my cup of tea. And I know people that do it. And the beneficial part is like at expos and stuff. Perfect. You know, it's an off-road overland camper, base camp. Let's go wheel, explore, come back. We'll have our camp spot.
Right. Well, I think you just clarified that. So if you have a trailer, you're base camping. You're not overlanding.
Oh, you did something.
Caught him.
You did. You dirty dog. You did. Base camping. Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah. That's not overlanding. I don't know, man. That's good. I'm going to reach out. Okay.
All right. I'm phoning a friend. What are you doing here?
I am going. Yeah. You guys can do an update date later, but I'm going to ask a couple people and call them out. Word them like it, you know, like kind of you did. Get me in that trap.
Yeah.
And then just stomp on them.
Yeah.
Just, and then see what their reaction is.
You're
not an overlander.
That's an interesting way to do it. Is be like, oh, what about this scenario? What do you call?
Yeah.
What are you doing on this scenario? What are you doing in this scenario? What are you doing?
I'm going to get so much flack from coming on your show. Everyone's going to just kick me out of the overland community.
You're going to lose half your members. Yeah.
All right. Everybody.
Budget base camping is the next podcast. So
that's fine. Yeah.
Because what? And to go back to this kind of in a way, because a base camp doesn't have to be with a trailer, right? I mean, you could have a tent set up and everything, and you could do that style. So I'm somewhat defending you here.
So, well, and I appreciate that. And you just gave me another idea. So the negative side or downside to a base camp and all that stuff. So if you set up, you know, most trailheads, there's two. There's a beginning and an end for the most part, unless it's just a big loop or something. Mm-hmm. So by road, like on a highway, some of those could be like 4 or 5 hours, you know, around. Mm-hmm. So if you're base camped down here and you're wheeling, there's only like one trail. What are you going to do? Turn around and do the trail backwards? I mean, you can do that, but it's like the base camping for me is probably more practical for the expos, for big events, or if you're like at a family reunion or whatever, you know, where it's like a family vacation and you're going to be here at this one spot for 4 or 5 days and you just want to go explore. That's fine. Yeah. It's not overlanding. It's base camping.
Well, and this was we did an episode fairly recently. You might've heard it where we talked to rooftop tents versus ground tents or tent camping.
I, I did not. I think I started to, and I'll just be honest with you, I did not finish it.
That's okay.
But I got you on the other one. You know, I listen. I got you on the other one. Yeah.
The argument in that episode, the benefit of having a tent, ground tent, is that you, when we wheel out, like on the Rubicon, we get like halfway and then we make a somewhat of a base camp. And then the next day we wheel to the other end and wheel back to base camp, where if you have the rooftop tent, then you have to move camp every single time. So, but that also is not overlanding, because now we're making the base camp and we're off-roading.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I get that. I get that. I mean, I think overlanding is more of the travel part. And if you see a cool spot to camp, boom, let's camp there. Pack up, go. You're just on a continuous journey or route. I don't know. Like for me, like we went to Colorado last year. So yes, we had an end goal destination. Do we know what we were going to do in between? We had an idea. It wasn't like super planned out. My wife's a super, like she loves to plan and she has to be, and she's getting better with me as far as not putting timelines or deadlines on like, oh, we got to pull over up here. We got a reservation or whatever. Like, no, she's not like that at all. She's really chill about it, but she keeps me in track or on track of our end goal destination is making it to Colorado. We don't want to be in Kansas for 4 days and spend one day in Colorado.
Yeah.
So, okay. So we're not just out here zigzagging around, but I think having a definition of overlanding as far as just constant movement and pitching a tent wherever, I don't think that's overlanding. I don't.
Okay.
So that kind of goes back to the base camp also, is like, maybe they are overlanding. I don't know.
Yeah. So my only other kind of question is, does overlanding have to be off-road? Can it be on pavement?
I might catch a lot of flack, but yeah, I mean, you could overland on pavement.
I think so. I would agree. I think you could overland, you know, through Yellowstone and, you know, stay on land or on the pavement. And, you know, it's more about, you know, taking your time and seeing the sights and driving to the spots and finding a place to camp. Most people, and granted, most people are probably finding a place to camp that's off-road.
Yeah.
Let's just be honest about that. But
and I think the different geographical off-road areas that are available to the United States, you know, out west primarily, there's a lot of land, BLM land and stuff that you could go to. In the Midwest, there's a lot more the National Forest Service roads that you could do. And then I heard out east, it's very difficult because of the zoning and the high populated areas. You know, it could be a struggle to find decent trail that isn't going to be, you know, completely hammered down with people.
Yeah.
A lot of, you know, you got the Daniel. Yeah.
A lot of private property for the off-roading, the private parks.
Yeah. Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that would make it a challenge.
Forest land that are really strict about dispersed camping rules and where you can do dispersed camping stuff at. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that was a kind of another question I had was, you know, can you start to, I don't want to say define it, because I don't think that is something you can define.
Right.
But, you know, is there a difference between overlanding and staying in designated campsites versus dispersed camping? Like, is that part of it as well? Or
I would say, because I would say you could camp at a KOA if you wanted to. And the reason why I say this is when I'm with my family, we'll probably more than likely stay at a campsite. A, there's a pool, there's a bathhouse, everyone's having a good time, there's electric, you could recharge your jackeries, whatever. As long as you're making it comfortable for those with you, they're going to more than likely go back with you. So if it's unpleasant and your son's not having fun, your wife's not having fun, they're not going to go with you on trips. But if you do the baby steps, and as my son gets older, you know, I've already got plans with him to go to like Alaska and do all this fun stuff, maybe do the, you know, all these cool, big, long journey things together. And I think staying at a KOA and all that's very acceptable. And that's overlanding as well. And if you get tired of camping, get a hotel one night. Who cares? That could be overlanding. Get a shower. You probably stink. Get a good night's rest. You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
And that's where I think there's a lot of people out there that are like defining overland. Even in our Facebook group, you know, a couple guys I know, I'm not going to say their names, but it's like, you know, overlanding is whenever you're going between international borders and you're out on the road for months on end. I'm like, dude, I go overlanding every weekend. Like, don't define it as, don't limit the time,
yeah,
you know, as to if you're overlanding or not. You know, I can go overland in a day if I wanted. Mm-hmm. Who cares? I mean, call it whatever. It's a fun word to say. It's better than just saying, I'm going camping this weekend. Okay. Mm-hmm. Camping nowadays is like taking a 50 or 60 foot RV, pop outs, you know, air conditioning, all that.
That's funny you mentioned that. I've had people tell me that they're, you know, hey, yeah, I went camping last weekend, or yeah, I go camping often. I'm like, oh, cool. You know, where are you going? And they're like, oh, up to this resort, up in this. And we take our 60 foot RV with that. I'm like,
yeah.
What do you mean you're camping? You're not camping.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
I think
about?
That's a decent difference, a decent definition between what camping and overlanding might be. I think camping used to be, you know, like I threw everybody in the Cherokee and we had a ground tent and all this stuff in the back, and we drove out to the middle of nowhere and we camped for like 3 days. Right. Mm-hmm. But now that's overlanding. And camping has turned into a Lance camper or an RV, and we're going out camping somewhere. We're going to go to Johnson Valley for King of the Hammers, and we're going to camp there. Not a lot of people are saying we're going to King of the Hammers and we're going to go overland at that event. Okay,
yeah, it's just weird verbiage. It really is. But to go back, this, you know, another argument is I've been doing this for 40 years, and then they come up with this name called overlanding. Mm-hmm. True to a point, and I will tell the difference. There wasn't a market for overlanding. So now you've got diesel heaters, portable air conditioners, scottles, you know, drawer systems, mm-hmm. deck systems, railings, all this stuff targeted for overlanders, you know, to make their life living off out of their vehicle more comfortable.
Yeah.
Now back to the Wagoneer and the Coleman stove and the old canvas tarp tent we used to do back in the 60s. That's camping. That's what camping was then.
Yeah.
They didn't have RVs. If you're very fortunate, if you even had a camper in the 60s, it just blew up, you know, in the 90s and all that stuff, 70s, 80s, 90s. You know, it's crazy. It's all this terminology stuff's getting rebranded. It's funny.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's one of the cool things about overlanding, though, is that it does mean something different to everybody. And I don't think there is really a good definition for it. And I think that's one of the things that makes it so
controversial.
I don't want to say controversial.
It is a controversial topic.
Super controversial, but it's also a super powerful topic too. Like, because it means something different to everybody else. So everybody can say they're overlanding at some point or another. So.
And there's nothing wrong with having a tribe and say, hey, I'm an overlander too. It sounds stupid.
Yeah,
but everyone wants to connect. Everybody, I don't know about you guys. I got like four or five hobbies. Yeah. Overlanding's pretty dang expensive.
Yeah.
Especially if the latest and greatest thing came out, you know, but you know, to prioritize how you spend your money and all that stuff, it really does go a long way. And I'd rather spend my money now on food and gas versus gadgets and stuff. You know, I want to go explore and see stuff, feel like a, you know, early explorer, you know, out in the middle of New Mexico or wherever, you know, see things 90% of the people won't ever see with their own eyes. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I'm a big fan of that too. Just getting to see, I don't want to say the exclusivity of it all, but it's just, it's getting to see some really cool stuff that doesn't really get touched by humans. It's not necessarily the fact that I'm getting to see it and somebody else doesn't get to see it. Ha ha ha. It's more that, you know, there's some really cool, pristine stuff out there that people just haven't had the chance to fuck up yet. So,
exactly. Yeah. But if you ever go to like New York City, or don't even go to New York City, you see pictures of it, whatever, you're like, yeah, that's a cool city.
Don't go to New York City, everybody. That's a bad
But whenever place. You go there, you're like, whoa, this is crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like huge.
It's bigger it's the same than thing. You like, expect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you go to wherever, like some park or wherever, you're like, yeah, that looks cool. You know, might go there. Your expectations might be popped or they might be exceeded.
Yeah.
So it's like most people are lazy and don't want to even try to go look for it, because it's like, it's on Google, or I watch a YouTube video on it. Why should I go look for it? Mm-hmm. You know, for me, it's chasing something I know a lot of people will never see in person. And, you know, it's something about connecting with nature. And like you said, you know, how long is it going to be there? You know, all these development stuff going on in Moab, you know, they're talking about doing a land swap and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. How many more times is that going to happen?
Yep.
So
indefinite amount.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Do it while you can. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So what would somebody have to do to not be an overlander?
Not have to do. I don't know. Give me some examples.
I don't know. Would bigger than 37 inch tires makes you not an overlander?
Well, that just goes back to like putting a cap on it. There's no cap. I mean, and then that goes back into earth roamers and stuff like that. You know, okay. Expedition vehicles. Mm-hmm. I would say they aren't overlanders, but are they overlanders? They can't go down some of the trails I can, but they could sure heck go through the Serengeti or whatever. You know, I mean,
for a month without stopping. Yeah.
So I say it stops with expedition vehicles. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. It's just another tax bracket too.
It's like, once you're outside of the tax bracket, you're no longer overlanding.
You're just, yeah.
That's funny.
I'll agree with that one.
Okay.
Yeah. I love the going to, you know, Overland Expo and seeing all the really creative ideas that people have come up with to solve different problems or different pain points. Right.
Yeah.
And I love that, you kind of mentioned it, the, you know, the Scottles, the deck systems, fridges, 12 volt fridges, these ideas that people have come up with to make life easier while you're out camping. And, having that combined with the journey of it, which is, I mean, making life easier for me versus Jimmy is two different things, right? Jimmy's like perfectly happy with peanut butter and honey and a hammock. Whereas I'm like, man, I want my cot. Give me a little air mattress there. My heated blanket off my Jackery, and I'm happy. Like,
there's nothing wrong with being comfortable. And a lot of people, you know, get confused about camping and just, you know, they might have had a bad experience, but whenever some people are like, oh, you're camping with that, you know, it's like back when I was camping, I only had this or whatever. It's okay. They call it glamping, whatever. It's okay to be comfortable in camp. You don't have to rough it. Not unless you're into bushcraft and all that stuff. Some people are like, that's what they're in is with overlanding, is like starting a fire with, you know, a friction bow or whatever, or whatever, using a ferro rod and all that stuff. It's like, that's cool, but I got a log starter here. I got a pop-up fire pit. You know, it's like all this glamping stuff. It's like, whatever makes life easy, you know, it is. You know, I enjoy it. I just, it is what it is.
Yeah. Whatever you enjoy out there, as long as you're doing it safely.
Yeah.
You too can be an overlander then.
That's right. You actually have to get certified now. You have to
overlanding certification.
You have to fill out an application.
Yeah. Is that it, when, on Overland Bound when you get the little plaque?
Yeah. Missed. Man, we missed it. We could have had something.
That's funny. Well, cool, man. This has been a really fun discussion. Was there anything else that you were like, hey, this should really be talked about to you?
No, I really, I mean, if you guys, I like more of the off-road aspect as far as like what you guys do. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's like the off-road side? Like, what do you guys look at overlanders as? I mean, is that a thing? You know, like off-road community, do they look at overlanders as like gravel road people or wheelers, or do they look at them as like posers? I mean, I guarantee you. Like,
here we go.
I want your perspective.
I don't know. For me, it's more of gadgety people who really, really like gadgets for the sake of gadgets. In my, that's just like, if somebody says, oh yeah, I'm an overlander, I immediately think, oh, you like gadgets. But like, I don't know if that's, if I, in my head, I put that as a positive or a negative thing though, at the same time, because I'm like, I love gadgets myself. I don't know if I would go and get a bunch of gadgety stuff just for the sake of getting gadgets to go off-roading. But at the same time, I look at some of the stuff out there that overlanders have come up with. I'm like, that's pretty fucking cool. So I don't know. I think it's, that's the first thing that pops to my head. If somebody says they're an overlanding,
that, and we've incorporated a lot of those gadgets now into our lives, right? I mean, we have lithium battery packs. We use heated blankets, you know, which you never could do before getting a lithium battery. Yeah. Right. And you know, I have a rooftop tent. I have a fridge. You have a fridge, you know, it's, we've taken, I think, some of these ideas from the overland community and be like, you know what? That would actually be really nice and bring into our community. I want to put the difference primarily of overlanding versus off-roading as more of a difficult of trail. I think a lot of overlanders, and this is just a blanket statement here.
Sure,
overlanders are on 33s with like a 2 to 3 inch lift. Probably more or less, maybe a rear locker, but open, you know, and some rock sliders and maybe skid plates and bumpers. Right. And that's, And that's great. And that's, if you're, you know, you're hitting that, you can, you know, there's a whole bunch. There's
you can do 90% of whatever you want.
So, there's a lot of things you could do in this world with that setup right there. But when you start wanting to do something like the Ford Ice or Rubicon or Johnson Valley, you know, or there's some trails and there are trails in Moab that you can do, but there's some trails that you could probably not even attempt, right? A bunch of Sand Hollow. I think that it's just, for me, it's a level of difficulty. Like, you know, however you want to rate it, if we're going to just say 1 through 10 scale, you know, if you want to go get up to level 7, maybe you're on 33s. Yeah, 35s and lockers and protection. But if you want to get up to that level 10, you're no longer overlanding. You're now off-roading or rock crawling.
With gadgets, quote unquote.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's cool.
That's where we started getting into rock landing. So,
yeah, we've made that new term.
Rock landing.
Sure, heard it.
Yep,
we stole it actually from Power Tank.
Yeah.
Power Tank said it to us first.
Yep.
I think what you said, just touching on what you said, you could go north or south of there and still be an overlander. I know a lot of my friends have 37s and do this, but I think technically it is off-roading and with your gadgets. So I think I would agree with you on that.
Mm-hmm. So they,
but they can call themselves overlanders.
They were, yeah, they wouldn't.
Well, they got patches though. If they've got patches on their headliner,
on
they're
the side of the roof.
And a bazillion stickers on their rig, overlanders.
Yeah.
Dead giveaway.
I love it.
So dang it, I might be an overlander.
I have no patches,
but I've been lining like the inside of my truck bed with all these stickers.
Nice. I'll send you guys some stickers. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
So, all right. I'm going to go overlanding on the Rubicon.
Yeah.
Sweet, man. Hey, open invite. If you guys ever want to come out to Arkansas, Missouri, wherever, we'll take you out on a weekend or whatever, or a week if you want. I don't care.
Yeah. When you guys were talking about your trip in the Ozarks, man, I was like, man, that's a place that's a part of the country I've always wanted to explore.
It is like, I think sometimes we take advantage of it, but man, it is so beautiful. And we say mountains like the Ozark Mountains, they're pretty freaking big down there. I mean, there's no snow caps or nothing, but they're fun. It's beautiful, man. There's water crossings everywhere. If it's clay and mud and rock all in the same spot, it's great.
That sounds
fun.
Yeah. Except for the mud, but yeah.
I don't like the mud either, but it's like sometimes I don't know. Yeah. It's different.
Nice. Well, cool, man. Thanks for coming on. I don't know if we answered any of life's questions, difficult questions today about off-roading versus overlanding, but, or what those mean, but, I really like just kind of leaving. I love that it's kind of open-ended. I don't think there is a way to define it. And I think that's the special part about it. So, it's cool having you on, man, getting to make the schedules work out and, finally getting you over here. And, I think we're going to be releasing this podcast, on Snail Trail 4x4 and over on Budget Overland in a little bit here. So I guess if it'll be fun to see what all the listeners of both sides have to say about it and, kind of the comments and feedback we get about everything.
And they might just disown both of us. Right. I don't know. I mean, this could just blow up.
Yeah.
But for the record, we defined overlanding very well. Mm-hmm. And no one can come and argue with us about it because we got it right the first time.
Always.
So, yeah. So, I mean, if you're that guy, I'm just going to save you your time typing it out. Just don't. I was right. You're wrong. Carry on.
Yes, definitely. Well, if you do have some hate mail, you can always send that over to Jimmy or Tyler at snailtrail4x4.com. And you can always find us on the Instagrams. I'm over at snailtrail4x4. Tyler's over at 4x4 Toyota Tyler. You can phone into the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast at 916-345-4744. Benji, how can people find you?
Well, our Facebook group is Budget Overland. It's a private group, so you have to answer a few questions to get in. Obviously, the podcast, listen, go check it out. It's called Budget Overland Podcast. Instagram, Budget Overland Official, and I think that's about it. We're going to work on a website, launch it, so be on the lookout for that.
I will give you guys some major kudos on the Facebook group. There's some fun conversations and some really harebrained ideas that people are doing to solve different problems. Like there's somebody that was making skid plates out of road signs at one point. And I was like, oh, that's Paul, but at the same time, I love the ingenuity and the idea of it.
We call him Nissan Neil, and he's had he's a semi-local guy. He's about 2 hours from me. Cool dude, but he drives a two-wheel drive Nissan. And so he hit stuff hard. But, you know, the ingenuity there was a little funny. Yeah. But he got himself a four-wheel drive pickup now. Oh, okay. So I think he's just bored. Oh, nice. You know, he's not breaking stuff. He's just bored. So now he's just modding it out.
That's funny. So, yeah, if people go and check out Budget Overland, the Facebook page, there's a lot of entertaining stuff going on over there all the time. So it's fun.
Faux show.
Cool, man. Well, I like to put everybody on the spot, as you probably know about by now. So final words that you want to leave everybody with. Super, super important, because, you know, this is how people are going to remember you by. I'm just kidding. It's not important at all. So, Jimmy, final words for everybody.
Hashtag mall landing. Mall landing.
Benji, final words to everybody out there.
Yeah, I mean, just overland, have fun, pick up after yourself, and don't be a douchebag.
I like it. And with that, my friends, keep crawling.
This one's really stupid.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
No.
Have you heard of Murphy's Law?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much anything that will go wrong does go wrong.
Anything, yeah. Anything that can go wrong,
can go wrong will go wrong. Wrong,
yep.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of Cole's Law?
Cole's?
Yeah.
No.
It's thinly sliced cabbage.
Thinly sliced cabbage?
Yeah, coleslaw.
Okay. All right.
You're like
that was stupid.
I told you.
Okay.
Is that this one was bad before we even started?
That is true. You did. I'll give you that.
All right. Ha ha.